Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show. Happy Thursday all across Broncos country, from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. Today's episode of the show, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Today, I'm joined alongside by Zach Seegers to talk about the Denver Broncos offense. We are beginning our portion of projecting the final roster. We're going to focus on today on the offensive side of the ball. Tomorrow, we're going to focus on the defensive side of the ball altogether. So we're going to break down every position, every player there, who we predict is going to be there and who is not. And also, we got to talk about one Broncos undrafted rookie that was really making headlines yesterday with some praise from Vic Fangio, who doesn't throw praise out loosely. And so we're going to talk about that. And maybe there is a spot for a certain undrafted rookie free agent. Zach, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing great. You know, it's finally almost here. We're what, a week out now from there finally being meaningful football? We got the Nuggets winning the game 7, coming back from a 3-1 deficit. It's hard to be doing any better right now.
And we always get to talk football here, ladies and gentlemen, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. We are here for you every single day of the week. Locked On Broncos, daily exclusive Denver Broncos content coverage and analysis. So, Zach, let's talk about one of the stories of the day first. Before we get in and projecting the depth chart, Vic Fangio, in yesterday's press conference after practice, was asked a question about why Usain Bassey was working in with the first team defense. And he said something along the lines like it was a test for him. He, you know, Bassey had no idea that it was going to happen, that he was going to be placed there. So one thing that Vic Fangio wanted to do, he wanted to, one, see how he did. And two, he also wanted to see how he responded, what his reaction would be to it. Let's roll it to Broncos head coach Vic Fangio with his thoughts on Usain Bassey working with the first team defense yesterday at the UCL Training Center.
Yeah, I thought he did pretty damn good.
Obviously, a lot of high praise there, Zach. As I said earlier, Fangio doesn't throw out praise very often. And for him to say he did damn good or he did very damn good, that right there is something that, you know, maybe Usain Bassey does have a role on this team. And I know we're going to project the defense tomorrow, but I really do see him being maybe one of these players that could stick onto this roster. Now, I don't know how it's going to pan out considering all the other defensive backs in this DB room.
Yeah, it's a very crowded group. You know, there is that question mark around, you know, who's that third cornerback going to be? But because of that, it's kind of stacked up 3 through 5, at least. You're not sure on who that third cornerback is because there's three guys competing for it. But that means you're pretty sure who guys 3 through 5 are. And that just makes it tough to fit in another. You know, we're seeing a lot of these final roster predictions coming out right now, and I don't think Usain Bassey was on any of them. And Vic Fangio giving him a shot with the first team defense this late in the process should tell us all that Bassey's got a real shot of making this roster. And I think he's got more upside than guys currently competing even for that starting cornerback job. So I think it's worth at the very least holding on to him in some regards, but if you can find a way to get this guy on the final roster, they should make sure to do it, because to throw him in that right into the fire like that without any preparation this late in the process, and for him to actually do really, really well in the slot, which means he was probably matched up a good bit with a guy like Jerry Jeudy, I mean, that's really impressive. And Broncos should maybe even give him more opportunities like that down the stretch here.
And this is an editor's note here. The Broncos have traded away cornerback Isaac Yiadom to the New York Giants in exchange for a 7th-round pick in the 2021 NFL draft. So I guess with the movement of Bassey getting some reps with the first team and the release of Yiadom, who's in line for that cornerback 3 competition with the Broncos at camp, maybe it opens things up now for Bassey's roster spot to be official. The Broncos will practice at Empower Field at Mile High tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. under the lights. Really just a simulation, kind of a fine tune about what it is to play under the lights at Empower Field, obviously. And there's going to be pumped in crowd noise once again. It's almost like a dress rehearsal just about a week and a half away. And I really do wonder if we're going to see more Usain Bassey. Now, here's the deal. Friday, really, for most of these players that may be on the roster bubble, that's going to be their last chances Friday evening's practice, because then Saturday by 4 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, league time as they call it, they're going to have to make roster cuts. The roster is going to have to be down to 53. So we could see players actually start being cut now, essentially. It could happen today. It could happen the start of tomorrow. But by 4 o'clock p.m., the Broncos have to have their roster cut down all the way. So I imagine we might see some trimming of the fat a little bit for the Broncos leading up to maybe tomorrow night's practice. But yeah, like I said, I don't know if a guy like Bassey, look, I think the one thing for him, no preseason games, that's a very, very negative advantage. And we talked about this in depth, that really for guys that are trying to fight for a roster spot, they don't get an ample opportunity to maybe prove themselves. Now for Bassey, though, as you mentioned, working in with the first team defense right now, maybe it says something. The praise from Vic Fangio maybe says something. And when it comes to roster cuts, undrafted rookie free agents are very, very cost friendly. Like, it's not going to cost the Broncos much to keep him, but you do play with the benefactor of, if the Broncos do release him, he's going to have to clear waivers. He could be picked up by a team like Seattle, who had interest in him in college coming out into the NFL draft. They had interest in him. Not sure how that changes now, but do you risk maybe losing out on a guy, or do you, you know, maybe the Broncos are confident that they can sneak him back on if he clears waivers?
Yeah, it's a total gamble on like you're saying, you know, and if the goal really was to try to sneak him in on waivers, you don't think you'd be seeing him play with the first team defense and, you know, see Vic Fangio praising him openly in the press, because that is the kind of thing that, you know, just can get out there. So it's really tough to see how Bassey makes it. But to your point, it's going to hurt all these undrafted free agents to not have a preseason game. And I think Friday is going to have a big role in what their future is, because that's the closest thing we're going to have to a preseason game. You know, if Bassey does have a real shot of making the final roster, he should probably get another run with the first team defense, maybe not for the full time, obviously, of practice, but at least for a few snaps on that Friday practice. And that might end up being the difference for him one way or the other. It's just, who do you sub out in this cornerback room? Is it Duke Dawson for Sang Bassey, kind of in, they work that similar nickel role? Are you subbing out a Devontae Harris? Because outside of that, you know, Bouye's safe, Callahan's safe, Bowsby's probably safe at this point, Ojemudia is safe at this point. So it's hard to find who that odd man out's going to be if Bassey does make the roster.
Certainly a lot of intriguing storylines, and that's something for me. I know we've been singing the praises. We've been on the Bassey bus for quite some time, Zach, and it's been going on for months, man. So we can claim a stake to that realm there and that name that we trademarked, the Bassey bus. But with that said, Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we're actually going to get into our discussion of the offensive depth chart, our projections. Zach and I are going to go through every single position, from the skill positions to also the line, and we're going to project and we're going to give our thoughts on which players we believe they will keep there and how many players at that position they'll keep, coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to remind you guys about today's sponsor of Lockdown Broncos, and that is NFL Game Pass. And this season, you can get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays, and you can see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, the crazy catches, the wild comebacks, and the breakout stars from every game every single week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts, techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Just go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. All right, Zach, let's get into our projection series here. We're taking a look at the Broncos offense on today's episode. We're going to break down the Broncos defense on tomorrow's episode. Hopefully Patrick Chiodi can join us for that. But with that said, let's start off with the number one position I think that everyone's focused on here, Zach. That's quarterback, right? That's the number one position the Broncos have the biggest question mark at. I'm just joking. That's not the case this year. This isn't 2017 anymore. This is not the Simeon versus Lynch debacle that we ran into. But the Broncos do have their guy at quarterback here, and that is Drew Lock. He's the starter. He's hopefully the long-term guy for this Broncos organization. I've got two players at this position listed here on the Broncos offense on the final roster. Two players at the position, Lock and Jeff Driscoll, which more than likely means that Brett Rypien will likely be a practice squad player, which means the Broncos will have to release him, and then he's going to have to clear waivers, and then they're going to have to sign him in. And I believe that with the expansion to 16 players on the practice squad this year, the NFL has also designated that teams can tag 4 players on the practice squad as untouchable by other teams. I imagine if this is the case, Driscoll will be the backup to Locke, and Rippon will probably get that exclusive tag of untouchable on the practice squad. What are your thoughts? And also, how did you have the quarterback position depth out for you here?
You know, I have it the exact same way. There's not much, you know, that could surprise here. Drew Locke is the unquestioned starter. Nice to finally have one of those, like you alluded to. And then Jeff Driscoll, with how much money the Broncos are paying him, even though he's playing really bad in camp so far, and we've questioned that signing a ton, you know, during this month or this past month, I just don't think you can swap Rippon for him because of the financial implications of cutting Jeff Driscoll right now. I think you're going to see them try to weasel Brett Rippon onto that practice squad. And, you know, hopefully they're able to do that with one of those, designations that should protect him. The only way I could see him really getting poached is if one of these teams looking to run with 3 quarterbacks on their final roster isn't satisfied with whoever their third quarterback was in camp. Outside of that, he should be able to make the practice squad and remain with the Broncos for another season.
I think the NFL needs to make a rule where the third quarterback has an exemption on the roster where it doesn't count against the active roster. Because how many times, Zach, have we seen in the history? I believe it happened even once with the Broncos, because I remember Kyle Orton was banged up. He had an injury, and then he was going to be listed as the emergency quarterback. Like, he wasn't good enough to play, wasn't good enough to start because of his injury. But in the event that someone got hurt, which I believe it was Chris Sims, if I'm not mistaken, got hurt, and Orton had to come in against the St. Louis Rams several years ago. And not several, this was a long time ago, but he also had to be the emergency quarterback. We've seen teams in the NFL in recent years go through 2 quarterbacks quickly in a game, and all of a sudden they're designated to an emergency guy. The NFL needs to look at that, in my opinion, here. But let's transition to the running back position. For me, I've got Phillip Lindsay. I think he's going to be the guy that's getting the first carries on Monday night. And I got Melvin Gordon. And then Royce Freeman is my third projection. I believe the Broncos are going to keep 3 total running backs. And for Levante Bellamy, who's had a pretty good camp, he's not going to be on the active roster in my projection, but he will be a practice squad player for Denver. What are your thoughts?
You know, I have it going the exact same way. After going to camp and everything, I thought Phillip Lindsay is the number one guy in this room. And I don't think it'll be as close to a 50-50 split as we might have been expecting in, May or June or whatnot. I just think Phillip Lindsay looks a lot better. I think he's improved a good bit as a receiver, which is huge for him. And the added weight should also make him a little bit better of a power runner, which those are the 2 areas the Broncos would look for Melvin Gordon over Phillip Lindsay. I think Gordon's going to have a bit of a smaller role than people are expecting, and Freeman's going to have a bit of a bigger role than people are expecting. And I think, Levante Bellamy makes a lot of sense as a practice squad guy. Maybe if this is Royce Freeman's final season in Denver, or, who knows, maybe it's Melvin Gordon's, maybe it's Phillip Lindsay's. I could see Bellamy being part of this backfield, after the 2020 season, potentially. So I think him being on the practice squad makes a lot of sense there.
Now we shift our focus to the wide receiver position. Cortland Sutton, obviously wide receiver 1. He's going to make the roster. Jerry Jeudy's going to make the roster. Tim Patrick, in my opinion, is going to be wide receiver 3 for this Broncos team. That's really been what they've been running in camp out of the base 11 personnel. KJ Hamler, when he returns healthy, he's going to be part of the mix as well. Obviously being a rookie, Tyree Cleveland, 7th round pick, has also been turning heads in camp. And really the question is, because I've got the Broncos keeping 6 wide receivers. I just listed 5 there. For me, I kept Deontay Spencer on my projection list because he's going to be the Broncos kick return and punt return specialist. Did you do anything different? Did you add any more? Like, how many wide receivers do you have on your projection list? And if so, if you have the same ones that I do, who's the 6th one, or do you have any different ones?
You know, I have 7, so I have the same 6 you just listed. I have Deshaun Hamilton on the roster, and you have him missing out, which I actually think makes
how
a
the
lot
hell
of sense.
Did I, how the hell did I just miss Deshaun Hamilton? That's completely on me. That is completely on me. I'm looking at my list right now. I've got Sutton, Jeudy, Patrick, Hamler,
Clinton. Oh, I thought you were going Spencer. For the hot take. I thought you were
no.
going for the hot take.
No, I just
I
completely
don't think
spaced
too
it.
Crazy. Oh, okay. Do you want to re-record that?
No.
All right.
No, absolutely. Holy moly. Hey, folks, you got me live here. I forgot about Deshaun. Deshaun's had a great freaking camp. You know, maybe I thought because I had Hamler there, I was going to include Hamilton Hamler in the same context there, but no.
I've been doing that. The hams from Penn State.
It's got to be seven. I changed mine to seven. Yeah, holy, good catch on that, Zach. Jeez.
No problem. Well, I honestly, I don't think it'd be the craziest thing for Deshaun Hamilton to miss out on the roster. Because when you look at it, like you said, Courtland Sutton safe, Jerry Jeudy safe. Tim Patrick, I'd say like 95, 99% is safe. He looks like he's running with that first team. KJ Hamler is the second round pick. He's not going anywhere. And then you get down to those final three guys that I think are all a little wishy-washy. And I think all three will make the roster. But Deontay Spencer, he's a great returner. But do you have the roster space to have a guy who's really just going to be a returner for you? Tyree Cleveland is that bottom of the seventh round pick. I've loved what he's done so far in camp, and I think he'll be a special teams asset from day one. But I don't think it's a lock he makes the roster. And if you got those two guys making the roster, you're at six wide receivers. And it's always hard to keep seven receivers if that's what you want to do. So then I think Deshaun Hamilton's spot comes up for grabs because, you know, he's had a good camp. It hasn't been as good as Tim Patrick's, in my opinion. And I could see him ending up as the odd man out in this receiver core, although I do think he'll make the final roster.
My error has forced me to really look at my list. And I got to change some things up because now I'm over the 53-man roster limit. And I'm going to explain here offensively, too. So now getting to the tight end position, I've got the Broncos keeping four, right? So at this point, we're in a pretty good position. I've got Noel Fant, Howard Okwuegbunam, Nick Vinette, and Jake Butt as tight end number four. He's going to be the fourth tight end on the roster, which more than likely means no Beck. I don't think they're even going to keep a fullback style. I think it could be one of those guys. I think Vinette could play that fullback role for the Broncos if they do go that way, even Jake Butt potentially. So I think that they're going to keep four, and those are my four guys at that position.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. You know, I've got initially, I definitely thought Andrew Beck was going to be one of these four guys. You know, Fant, Vinette, and Okwuegbunam are all locked in. It really comes down to, is it going to be Butt or Beck at number four? Or maybe I've even seen some people having him keep five guys. But I just don't think it makes sense to keep Beck. He's practice squad eligible still. And with Pat Shurmur and how rarely he uses a fullback, I don't understand having a roster spot dedicated to a fullback in his offense, because that's what holding on to Beck would really do. Like, I don't know the instance outside of like a goal line run scenario where you want two tight ends on the field where you'd have, you know, Beck other than, you know, lining him up a tight end. And the thing is, if that's the only instance you're going to be using Beck in, use Butt there, because I'd argue Butt might be even better on those snaps than Beck would be. So I just think Beck has, you know, his stock's probably been hurt by training camp more than anyone, and no fault of his own on that either. I just think we're going to see Fant, Vinette, Okwuegbunam, and then I just don't think with how good Butt's looked in camp and how mediocre Beck's been, I don't think you can have Beck over Butt. So I've got Butt in that fourth spot.
We may need to run a wager with Broncos fans really on their projections. So Broncos country, if you're actually listening to this podcast right now, if it's not Saturday is when roster cuts happen. We want you to send us your roster projections for the Broncos offensively, and then we'll get that also tomorrow defensively as well. We're going to go through that here. But Zach and I, we're going to break down the offensive line and the depth that we project there, who's going to be the roster, who's going to be the backups, how many players they get to keep overall. But before we get to that, I got to remind you guys, the Denver Nuggets, they advanced in Game 7 of the first round of the playoffs against the Utah Jazz. They came back from a 3-1 deficit, and now tonight they take on Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers. You want to hear the X's and O's, the pick and roll action, about what to expect in this series. It's going to be a tough one for the Nuggets. Can they overcome the claw and the defensive mentality that the Clippers have down there in LA? We'll listen to the Lockdown Nuggets podcast hosted by Adam Mattes and Matt Moore. All right, Zach, let's get into the offensive line portion of our projecting the Broncos offense series. We've went through quarterback. We believe that they're going to carry two quarterbacks on the active roster, three active running backs, seven active wide receivers, four active tight ends, and now we get to the offensive line, which is a very, very important position because the NFL, the CBA, designates that the NFL, they must maintain at least eight linemen on those position groups. There must be eight active players at that position for game days. And so when you think about your initial starting five, okay, you have that. Then you have probably one position that has a legitimate backup to that sole position. And then maybe you have two players that are swing backups. So we're going to look at it from that standpoint. Let's start off with center. It's really been the bulk the last couple of weeks at the center position. Lloyd Cushenberry, obviously, because he's a third round draft pick, I think he's going to be the starter for this Broncos team. I believe he's going to be the one center. And I believe the other player there, I believe the Broncos are going to carry two centers. And this next guy is going to be one of those swing center guard type players. and that's Austin Schlottman. Those have been the two players that have been having a lot more success in comparison to a guy like Patrick Morris. I think those are going to be the two guys at center for the Broncos.
Yeah, agreed. You know, the draft stock is a big thing with Cushenberry being the starter there. You're expecting him to be the center of the future, and you want to build that chemistry with Locke as soon as you can, and also just get his feet wet so he can start, you know, calling out those blitzes and getting those assignments down, become the quarterback of that offensive line sooner rather than later. But I think it's more than just draft status for Cushenberry. I also think he's the most talented of the bunch. I think you could argue, you know, 3-4 years from now, it's pretty likely he'll be the best offensive lineman on this offensive line. He's a very talented player. And yeah, I think he's the unquestioned day one starter right now. He's earned that position. He had to beat out Morris, and then he had to beat out Schlottman, and he's done a great job with both. Schlottman, I think, is definitely going to be that swing guy. We've seen him get the most first team reps, you know, as he initially held that starting center position before Cushenberry took it. And I also think, you know, Schlottman has been, I'm pretty sure he's been starting with the first team, even though we can't publish that stuff. I'm pretty sure I've heard he's been starting with the first team in Glasgow's absence. So he's likely to make it in that regard for sure, I think, as that swing man.
So now let's get to the left guard position. I'm just going from the middle to the beef of it. And obviously Dalton Risner, you know, we love him. He's a phenomenal player. He's a phenomenal human being, very energetic. He can motivate me to eat a sandwich. So we got him at the left guard position. And then I've got his backup listed as Netani Muti. I've got the Broncos keeping two left guards, and Muti is one of the backups at that position. And you got Risner there. What did yours look like?
I've got the exact same thing. You know, I got Risner, again, unquestioned starter. He was arguably the best offensive lineman on that starting five last year. He's going to start there this year. And again, he might be the best offensive lineman on that unit. And I think Moody makes sense to be the backup. You know, that was a Mike Munchak pick. I bet he played a huge role in that sixth round pick. He is Munchak's dream. So many tools you can develop. He could be a great starting guard or starting something on this offensive line once they get it out of him. So I've got him as the backup there.
Now let's take a look at right guard here. This is where one of those swing players is going to come into the mix here. Graham Glasgow, obviously dealing with the ankle injury right now. But the one person that's getting some reps for him while he's got, you know, while he's out of practice is Austin Schlottman. And Schlottman's ability to play guard center, I think, is going to be something that keeps him on this roster. So I've got Glasgow and Schlottman as the players there. So technically it counts as one because we already have Schlottman listed as a depth player at the center position. So he's one of those guys that can play either or. So he's one of those players there. And that leads me to where I'm at there. What does right guard look like for you?
Same exact thing. Glasgow starting, he's unquestioned. You got Schlottman as the swing guy. And really quick, just while we're talking about guards, I wouldn't be all that surprised even if Risner went down, if instead of Moody, because he is raw and toolsy, he's going to make the final roster because you don't want someone else to steal him from you. But I wouldn't be surprised if Schlottman is the backup for either guard position in case of injury.
And that's really important, too, because we think about the injuries that can happen. We mentioned the minimum of 8 active offensive linemen on game day. They have to be able to have that, which is a nice wrinkle in case a guy goes down. We saw the Broncos. They lost a couple guys last year down the stretch against Detroit. And, you know, they were down a couple guys there. So luckily they had the depth pieces there. I think at the tackle position, I've got at left tackle, I've got two players. I've got Garrett Bowles and I've got Calvin Anderson. Now, Anderson's been able, you know, most of the camp playing right tackle, but he's also another one of those bodies potentially there. And also for the right tackle position, I've got Elijah Wilkinson as a starter, and then the backup to him, Damar Dotson. And that rounds out really just having two deep at each position. But I also do want to throw out that if the Broncos don't decide to have another tackle, let's say they don't bring on Calvin Anderson or they don't keep Jake Rogers, and you have Bowles at left tackle solely, I think Wilkinson, in the event Bowles gets hurt or really struggles, Wilkinson bumps over the left tackle, Dotson slides in at right tackle. Ideally, the way that I have it set up right now, the Broncos have 25 players on offense, 25 players on defense, and 3 special teams, guys obviously with the kicker, punter, and long snapper. You know, obviously, for you, how did the tackle positions play out for you?
You know, I got Bowles starting on one side, Wilkinson starting on the other. Dotson is one of the backups. And my backup on the left side, I actually have Jake Rogers. You know, we saw him play some tackle for Munchak last year. He's a Munchak guy going back to his time in Pittsburgh. And yeah, I just think he's a more natural left tackle than Calvin Anderson. But I will concede that Anderson's been much better in camp. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if you saw Anderson ending up as that fourth tackle on the roster. And I also think, to your point about Wilkinson maybe kicking over to the left side in case of injury, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Wilkinson move off that right tackle spot in case of injury at either guard position, considering guard is kind of more Wilkinson's natural position. And, you know, I think just the equation the Broncos will have to solve then is the drop off from, you know, Reisner to Schlottman. Is that drop off greater than the drop off from Wilkinson to Dotson at right tackle?
That is an equation. I'm so glad I'm not in a position to actually have to be able to solve that. So hats off to Mike Munchak. He does a phenomenal job. And I think really for him, he's just got a multitude of guys he can mix and match. And really just having those eight players combined on the minimum, you have the ability, guys that are swing players, I think that gives you the best value, right? To be able to move a guy that can play either guard or tackle, or a guy that can either play guard or center, you have flexibility with what you can do on the line when injuries do occur. I do think that injuries will occur at some point. Hopefully they don't. I mean, in an ideal world, but you have to be prepared for a possibility there. So Broncos country, that is our offensive projections. And Zach and I'm sure the rest of Broncos country wants to hear your projections. So please send us a tweet on Twitter at CodyRorkNFL, at Zach_Seegers, and let us know. Go through quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, center, left guard, left tackle, right tackle. Let us know who the players are at those positions that you project offensively to be there and the number of players. Obviously, it's got to equate to where it's not going to exceed the overall limit, because when you think about defense, you'd have to have a lot more guys, just about as many guys at other positions defensively as well. Can't go over 53. So we want to see what your roster projections are as well. But with that said, ladies and gentlemen, give a special shout out to our sponsor, NFL Game Pass. Head to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. Get access to the film, the archives, and you guys know me. I break down the film for you guys. We're going to be launching our YouTube series. We got Cover 4, we got The Drive, and we also have our Broncos film room, where we take a look at players, we take a look at drives, we take a look at specific plays from a game that either aided in the outcome or hurt the Broncos in a negative way. We break down the tape and we try to educate football fans more so on the nuances of the game. You can expect that coming up in the next 2 weeks here, CodyRork NFL on YouTube, but we're going to break down Game Pass film for you as well. We're even doing some watch parties as well. So with that said, Broncos country, I'm Cody Rourke. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show. We're taking a look at projecting the Broncos defense.